Good to see everyone this morning and to experience all the beautiful global warming that we're experiencing here in Anderson County. I hope you enjoy the snow. It is very beautiful, and I think probably this is the first time that I can recall that it has snowed three times in a given year, but it is very beautiful outside. And this being the second day of spring and the beginning of the dogwood trails in Palestine, obviously has made this somewhat unique. But we're glad that you're here this morning. We know we have a number of people out, but we're glad that all of you have come. That's always the case every year with spring break, people taking trips, and a lot of illness in our congregation, but we're hopeful and prayerful that those folks will be back with us just real soon. Tonight during the lesson, a number of young men will be participating with us in the lesson. They'll be reading scriptures in conjunction with the challenges that have been afforded them by the Leadership Training for Christ program, in which they will be involved in a couple of weeks up in Dallas. And we always appreciate our young men and their eager desire to serve and to learn more about God. And we hope that you'll be here tonight to support them in their efforts as well. Have you ever wondered whether or not when you pray that God really listens to your prayers? And why is it that probably those of us who are Christian people go through dismal times, and why we face difficulties in life? I suppose probably every one of us have experienced those kinds of feelings. Well, why is it that I'm trying to do the right thing? And if I'm trying to do the right thing, why does God allow me to encounter all of these terrible things sometimes that go on in my life? Well, I think there's a reason for that. Sometimes we may not have a handle on it. We may not always understand it from our vantage point and this side of eternity, but I know there's a reason behind it. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there is a time and purpose for everything under heaven's sun. Now, with that in mind, if you'll turn this morning in your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. You know, Christian people in New Testament times face one difficulty after another. And as a New Testament Christian, you might have been persecuted to the extent that you may have been thrown in a big sporting arena with wild beasts and your life taken. It could have been that just people would murder you because you were a Christian. Now, we're not facing that necessarily today. Obviously, a lot of people are putting down those who wear the name of Jesus. And a lot of people belittle those and make fun of those, and they often call them right-wingers. They often refer to the religious right. I'm glad they do that instead of calling us the religious left. But in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul, having written to these Roman brethren who were undergoing great trials, had this to say. And when he said this, or when he wrote this, they really were words of encouragement to them, because no doubt they had prayed about some of these things that they had encountered. But Paul writes to him and he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I don't think there is any passage in all of the Bible probably that has been not only misquoted, but misapplied and misunderstood as much as this one particular passage of Scripture. There are a lot of people who often take passages out of context, and what we mean by that is they just snatch one here and they snatch it there, and they don't really understand it because it's not written and read within the contextual study of that particular passage. I think Romans chapter 8 is one of them. You've heard people take this passage and say, "Well, now that the Bible just simply says that everything is going to work out for the right thing." Or, in other words, God is just going to bless you. Don't worry about it. And they preach what we call that health and wealth gospel. Everything is just going to work out, or that it generally works out for the best. I'm going to tell you this morning, that is a misnomer. Things do not generally work out for the best. Now, think about what I'm saying. They don't generally work out for the best. They always work out for the best for those who are the called according of God. That is Christians. Now, the promise is made, first of all, to those who are the called. That is Christians. It's not made to Joe Blow on the street. It's not. It's not made to people out in the world, but to those of us who are Christians and those who follow God. That promise is true. And it isn't going to happen generally. It will always happen. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, if you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be saying that. Let me tell you something. You may be going through great difficulty in your life. I've gone through difficulty in my life, but I never ever felt that God had abandoned me. I never ever felt in my heart that because I was going through some difficulty that God was punishing me for something. I never believed in my heart that God was doing anything beyond what he had promised that he would do. Let me tell you something, and I hope you'll remember this. If you take nothing away today, take this away with you. God is always working in the life of a Christian. He is never late, and he is never early. He isn't. Sometimes we think, well, God, why'd you wait? Why didn't you do it when I asked you? God is never late, and he is never early. He will always come, and he will always activate himself in your life at the right time. I think there are three major points to the lesson that I want to share with you this morning from Romans chapter 8. One of them being that we ought to always remember God's promise to us. Did you know that God's promise, again, is to the Christian? You will remember in the book of Hebrews, the writer said of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, men forsake God. People leave God all the time. People forsake him. For whatever the reason, they may get mad at God. They may feel that God has let them down. They may have an unhappy marriage. A mate may have walked off and left them. They may have had some kind of financial problem in their life. They may have lost their job. And they kind of feel like, you know, this wouldn't be happening to me if God is really watching over me. I want to tell you again that God is watching over you. Christians are not immune to problems. They are not. But we have to remember God's promise is unto us, to the people who love God. Isn't that really what he said? He did say it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How deep is your love for God? And I said this passage sometimes is misquoted, misapplied, misunderstood. And this has to be one of the big major points here, folks. Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, you may be called according to the purpose of God, that is a Christian, but you may not love God. And if you don't love God, things that happen to you in your life will not work out for your good. Now, we've been so quick sometimes to read that passage and say, well, for the Christian, everything's going to be rosy, and everything's wonderful and good. But he said, to those who love God. To those who love God. And he says, listen, we know. We know. We don't think. It isn't generally going to happen. But we know. That's assurance, folks, that all things will work out for good to them that love God. And to them who are called according to his purpose. Do you remember when God, through Christ, called the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel? You will remember after having given that challenge unto the apostles, he made one statement that gave them great assurance. What if God called you to do something and he didn't say, hey, I'm going to be right behind you here, or I'm going to be right by your side and I'm going to make sure you get it done. But you know what? He did that to the disciples. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We know. You know what? God is working 24/7. God's working when we don't even see. You know what? Even right now, God in his wisdom is working right now to bring everything together. He is. I've heard people say, well, what if this happens in the world? We worry about a lot of things. You know, what if we had a total financial collapse in America? What if Iran has nukes? What happens? What happens if there's some kind of biological disease that attacks our country? What if? Someone said to me the other day, what if health care passes up in Washington today? What if? Let me tell you something. Whether it passes or whether it fails, God is still in control, and he still has a plan. Whether you like it, whether you're an advocate of a national health care program or not, God's still in control. God is working to make sure that things work out. Now, you know, many of us are short-sighted, and that's the way we view things. We look at what we see right here, not down the road. I like what David says about the Word of God. He says, your Word is a lamp to my feet, right here, and a light to my pathway. In other words, I may not be able to see all the way, but I can see far enough to know the path that God wants me to choose. And we have to trust him. And we have to follow him. And you can rest assured that what God tells you in the light, you must never ever doubt in the dark. Never. Because he's in control. He is. Remember his promise to you. But there's another thing about this passage I think that's so significant and something that is truly worthy of remembrance. And that is we ought to remember God's promise and his providence. You know, the word providence is an interesting word. We always say, well, the word providence means that God cares for you. Well, I guess it really does. But it's really much, much deeper than that. The word providence comes from two different Greek words. One of them is the word pro. And that word pro means before. We all understand that. Pro, if you go before someone, you're pro, you see. Now, so the word pro means before. And the word, the other part of that word, providence, means video. It's where we get our term video today. And it means to see. And so providence means that God sees before. You know what? God will see your problem before you see it. He already right now knows what you're going to be doing today. He knows what's going to happen to you this afternoon. He already has calculated and knows the day of your death, your physical demise. He knows what's going to happen to you next week. He already knows what's going to happen in Washington before they take that vote, folks. Did you know that? God already knows. He's already waiting. And you know what? God is already making a plan because of that vote and the outcome of it. He already has a plan. And we just have to trust him. If you are a child of God, there are no accidents, but there are always appointments. You ever heard people say, well, boy, he had a lot of good luck? Not so. You know, people do a lot of things. You ever seen people carry rabbit's foot? They talk about, it brings me good luck. You know, people carry coins in their pockets, whatever, and they say, well, I carry that because it's just a good luck charm. Well, I certainly hope this morning that you're depending much, much more upon the good things of life as a result of God's providence than you are luck or chance. Only appointments. And your life can be a rock of disappointment, or it can be a boulder of blessing. It can. You ever thought about it in reality? The little things we have to go through here, they're just rocks of disappointment. But the blessings of God are boulders. I mean, they're huge. And God can take the floods of life and turn them into a river of blessing. Now, that's really what Paul meant by all of this when he says, we know that all things work together for good. Now, here, that's what he says. To them that love God, first of all, primary, and then to them who are called according to his purpose. You may not understand something that's going on right now in your life, but just take it from God's word. Don't just take it from me. Take it from God's word that God is working a channel of blessing through your life. You know, there is a word that we don't use a lot. It's the word synergy. Anybody know what that word means? The word synergy means that if you were to take the individual parts and put them together, and the parts that are working together can do so much more than the one could ever do by himself. Now, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought to be a synergy that envelops us. We ought to be energized, all right, but we ought to be synergized in the fact that we work together, we're working together for that common good. And so Paul says the same thing about the events of life. He says, we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say one thing is good. Did he say it was good that you got sick? No, he didn't say that. Did he say it was good that your mate died? No, didn't say that. Did he say it was good that the stock market crashed and you lost all of your money? That good? No, it's not good. Is it good that we have drive-by shootings? No. Is it good that people abort their babies? No, that's not good. But you know what? God can take all of the events that occur in your life, all of them, and he can bring them about and merge them together, and good will come from it. As someone has appropriately said, it is not what goes in the bowl, but it is what comes out of the oven. Have you ever watched somebody bake a cake? I have, a lot of times. Audrey used to bake them. No, she still does. She's going to bake one for my birthday Wednesday, just in case you forgot. Chocolate, will you? If you ever watch somebody make a cake, how they put all those ingredients in that bowl? How many of you would like to eat an egg by itself? I know some people that do. I don't do that. How many of you would like just to eat a spoonful of flour by itself? Or a teaspoon of salt? Not me. But you know what? When you put all those things together with the other ingredients, if it's chocolate, you take that cocoa, you put it together with the flour, you put it together with oil or shortening, you put it together with sugar, you put it together with eggs. You thought I didn't know how to bake a cake, didn't you? You put it all together and then you mix it up. And you put it in an oven and it will come out to be one of the most delightful things you could ever, ever imagine. And you stand back and you look at that and you say, man, it wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be. And it turns out wonderful. Now, that's what we do in life, don't we? We look at this bad event that takes place over here and we say, well, that's just a horrible thing. Isn't that a terrible, terrible thing? How many of you have ever experienced this? I mean, something happened in your life and you thought in your mind, this is a terrible, terrible thing. Awful, bad thing. You know, it's just terrible. My life's over. It can't go on. And you look back on that event and the events that followed that, and you realize that God really was working behind the scenes, and he pulled all those things together, and it brought about something very good that at the moment when you were experiencing that bad event, you couldn't understand it. You really couldn't. You couldn't figure it out. You don't know why it happened. We might not like God's recipe for goodness. We might not. Sometimes we'd like to say, God, could you leave that one out of the recipe? But you know what? His recipe is always a good one. It's always the right one. It's always the best one. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want the world's recipe. I want God's recipe for my life. because I know that whatever I have to go through in life, whatever I am facing, God is working it out for my good. I may not see it at the moment, but I am telling you, it is always for my good. You know why I know that? Because I love God. I'm not ashamed to tell you this morning I love God. I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. I do. And that's what God says we ought to do. And sometimes if things are not working out in your life like you think they ought to, it may be that you don't love God enough. Maybe you love him intellectually, but you don't love him with all your heart. And there's a difference. But then, last of all, not only should we think about God's providence, but we should also remember God's purpose for me. What is your purpose here? What is your purpose? That doesn't mean that everything is going to be good. It doesn't mean you know, if you love God, that you'll never wake up with a headache. It doesn't mean that you'll never, ever get sick. It never, ever means that because you are a Christian that you will have marital bliss. Anybody in here have marital bliss? Well, we're talking about that one tonight, for sure. Nobody in this audience this morning has marital bliss. Can you believe that? Well, Audrey and I have it every now and then. Doesn't mean you're always going to have it. Doesn't mean you're never going to get sick. If you're ever going to have a heartache, that people are always going to treat you with kindness and love and respect. Doesn't mean that either. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he wrote to the church there, and he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, a lot of people there again misapply that scripture, and they say, "Well, that just means you to give thanks for everything." It's what he said at all. Not that you shouldn't. I think we ought to thank God for all things. But notice what he said. He said, in everything, give thanks. In other words, when you're in trouble, give thanks. When you are in joy, give thanks. When you are in great difficulty and when you are in pain, give thanks unto God. When you are in financial problems, give thanks to God. When you are in an unhappy marriage, give thanks unto God. When things are not going your way, give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I wish today that people were as concerned about their spiritual physique as their physical. You know, we got a lot of people that are real concerned about their physical physique. You know, they want to look dynamic, you know. I mean, muscular, well-built, trim, slim. And that's all right. You'll look like me one of these days. But God says you ought to be more concerned about your spiritual physique. You ought to make sure that your spiritual life is what it ought to be. Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but with godliness there is great gain. And there is great gain when we remember God's purpose for us. God's purpose, as I've told you before, is not to make you happy, but to make you holy. God's purpose in sending you into this world and bringing you into this world was not for your pleasure, but for His. And we have to trust Him. And we have to realize, however, that when we go through these problems that God might allow us to go through, He's doing it for our good. Do you know the trying of our faith works patience? You ever realize that when you go through great difficulty, that just makes you stronger to face the next challenge? It does. Yeah, Adam and them were out in California this week and saw the great sequoias out there. You know, those trees were small at one time. They were. You think they just grew up under the best of atmospheric conditions? No. Meteorologically speaking, they faced storms, winds that are common to California. But because they faced all of those great winds and storms, they were able to tower even higher and became great and majestic. Now, you can let problems, the winds and the storms of life, bend you and break you and make you fall over, or you can allow all of those problems to help you grow taller and reach toward heaven as the sequoias. And that choice is us. It's yours. And it's mine. You know, when you read Romans 8:28, and that's a very powerful scripture, but I'm going to tell you, verse 29 is just as powerful. Listen to what he said. For whom he did foreknow, remember? For whom he did foreknow, he knew you before you were born. He knew you when you were the seed in your mother's womb. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, listen to this, them he also glorified. So what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is no power in all of the earth that is greater than God's power. I want to tell you something. You may not understand it now. You may walk out of here and you say, well, you know, I know he said all that, but I just don't know whether I believe that or not. Believe it. Because it's true. Believe it. And it will change your perception of life, folks. It will. You can walk through this life with a big question mark over your head and over your life if you want to. I don't. I walk with a exclamation mark over my head because I know what God said and I believe it, and that settles it. There's no question in my life that God is not working in my life. I'm going to tell you something. He's working in my life. He's already got it charted out. He's already got it planned. I just try to get a hold of that plan every day and avail myself to say, God, where you want me to go? What you want me to do today? And God puts it in my heart what I need to do. I'm going to tell you something. If you just open your heart to God, let me challenge you to do this. Now, you may think this is far out, but let me just challenge you to do this. I think you can do it today, too. I was going to tell you, when you get up in the morning, I just want you to pray to God, and I want you to say, God, and it's fine for you to say, God, thank you for all the blessings you give us, and thank you for these wonderful things of life, and la, 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 my boom. But I want you to really get gut level with God. And I want you to say, Lord, you know, if what he was telling me yesterday is true, I want to yield myself to you. And I want you to really be a part of my life like I've never allowed you to be. And I want you to lead me. I want you to speak to my heart. And I want you to really give me the direction that I need and put it in my heart what I need to do, what you want me to do this day. And I'm going to tell you something. God will do it. Now, you may not believe that right now, but you go home and you think about what I'm telling you. When you go home and you honestly think about what I'm telling you this morning, and you practice what I've asked you to do, I'm going to tell you something God will be real to you. And now, that's not to say you're not going to go through a problem tomorrow. You may go through a problem. And you may say, oh, man, ask God to lead me and look at this. I'm going to tell you something. God may lead you to that problem. But through that problem, He will lead you to a blessing. You know, when David talked about all the wonderful things of his life, the joy and the happiness in being God's child, he could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice what he says. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You did it, God. But you anoint my head with oil also. And my cup runs over. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what Paul said? All things work together for good. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord my God forever. Now, you can choose to believe that, or you can choose to disregard what I've said this morning. But I'm telling you from the heart what God said. And I'm going to tell you something. If you practice it and you believe it with all of your heart, and you love God, you're called as a Christian according to His purpose. But the real test now is to love Him as He wants you to love Him. God's even called everybody this morning to become Christians. And if you're not a Christian, He's calling you this morning. He's calling you to trust and to obey. Trust Him and obey. And that trust involves saying, God, hey, I'm ready to walk where You want me to walk. I'm willing to do what You want me to do. I yield myself to You. Get rid of my will. I want to follow Your will. And I know that I want to be a Christian. And so therefore I'm willing to do what You've asked me to do. And I, out of that belief in You, God, I'd like to confess Your name before men. Because You told me that if I do that, someday You'll confess me before the Father in heaven. And I'm willing to do that this morning out of a penitent and repentant heart. And I'm willing to allow myself to be baptized into Christ this morning for the forgiveness of my sin, thereby showing to other people my deep belief in You. And so if you believe with all of your heart this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you really want to make that kind of commitment to Him, you're not really ready to make that commitment, hey, don't come up here and make some kind of shallow statement about believing in Jesus and then refuse to walk in His way. But if you're honest and sincere about making a real commitment to the Christ who's called you, then certainly God's willing to receive you. God doesn't play games. He doesn't play, let's make a deal. But He's willing to receive you if you come to Him humbly, trusting in Him with all your heart. And by being baptized, He forgives all of your sins. He places you within the kingdom, and you grow to love God every day, and God takes charge. He starts working in your life, and you'll see Him work like you've never seen Him work before. And if you're a Christian and you've strayed away from God and you haven't really been following His leadership, you've been charting your own course, why not turn the reins over to Him this morning? Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. It'll be a better life for you and for those around you. Let us stand and let us sing.